Hello and welcome to the Health Hacks Podcast, the podcast for high-performing professional females looking for practical ways to optimize all areas of their health and wellness. At Health Hacks, we understand that as a busy female, you wear numerous hats throughout your working week. You're trying to juggle it all, while also looking to carve out time to prioritize your own goals. It's challenging. It's therefore our mission to channel your energy into the areas that are going to help give you the biggest bang for your buck, to really make significant changes to your lifestyle in the most efficient way possible. So at the moment, if you feel as though you need more energy, you want to feel more productive to improve the quality of your sleep, to lower stress, to increase confidence, to show up better in both your personal and your professional relationships, this podcast is for you. If it's time you prioritize your health, learn to fuel your body, found time for exercise, and said goodbye to fad diets and inconsistent behaviors for good, this podcast is for you. If it's time for you to step into the shoes of the high performer you know you can be, this is the right podcast for you. Join me and my guests as we take you through the Health Hacks Podcast. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Health Hacks Podcast with me, your host, Caroline Milne. And today's topic is all around productivity. So if you would like to improve your time management, be more effective with the time that you do have, this episode is for you. Before I get into today's topic, I'm going to thank you, the listener, for joining me on the Health Hacks Podcast. If this is your first time listening, or perhaps you are a subscriber to the podcast, thank you so much for your attention and your ears. For those who would love to show their support to the podcast, the best way to do that is to hit that subscribe or follow button on your podcast platform of choice. You're probably listening to me on Apple or Spotify, or even better, perhaps you have been listening to the show for quite a while, and perhaps there have been some nuggets of information that have really helped you. Maybe you've been able to make a sustainable habit change. Maybe you have brought something into your nutritional protocol. Maybe you've changed the way that you have been approaching your formal exercise. If you have found any aspect of the work we do here on Health Hacks useful, send it to someone in your inner circle, perhaps a friend, a colleague, a family member, someone who you know would love to be more conscious of their health behaviors, perhaps someone who needs to be more productive. Perhaps you can think of someone in your team who might benefit from a discussion on productivity. A nice podcast episode might be an easy way to ease that conversation into their world. So if you do find the work that we do here valuable, do send it to someone. It allows us to spread our message, reach more ears, and ultimately impact more lives in the positive way that we want to. Let's waste no more time and get into this week's episode. The reason for this episode, it really builds on the work that we do with our one-to-one clients. It builds on the episodes that we have already released, Time Confidence with Abigail Barnes. And I've also done a solo episode on lifestyle design and the work that we do with our ladies to create frameworks within their day. Productivity is really looking at the next layer of those pieces. So once we've created a framework, once we've created a structure, how can we be as effective with our time as possible? And the reason this conversation is really prevalent is I've been having more and more discussions with ladies who really feel that time is their number one barrier to their health success. So I'll typically hear phrases like, Caroline, I would love to make time for exercise, but I just can't carve out space in my busy week. Or I've got a couple of deadlines coming up. I'll need to look at my health goals after that. I'm going to put my health goals on the back burner until this busy period is out of the way. And my problem with this is that your health doesn't work as an on-off switch. It's not something that we can just pick up as and when we feel like it. Your health is ongoing. And what I really don't want is time to be the thing that gets in the way of that progress. A recurring pattern we'll see is that when professional and personal pressures increase, our priority of our health and well-being particularly tends to decrease, a direct correlation. And a really common conversation I'll have is, Ladies will be able to forecast where they have an upcoming busy time, and that's actually a superpower. Actually knowing that you're going to have a busy couple of weeks or months even, or a quarter, is actually a string to your bow. It's actually a positive thing. But what they tend to do in reaction to that is say, things are going to be very, very busy. Therefore, I will need to either lengthen my working day, start earlier, I'll need to work through lunch. That's the knee-jerk reaction, is I will have to put more time into my my role, and I'm going to have to put this on the back burner. And instead of that knee-jerk reaction, and believe me, I've been there before, what I prefer to approach the busy time with the frame of is, how can we be more productive and effective with the time that we do have, rather than simply trying always to increase the working day? We see that time and time again. So what I'm really honing in on today is how we can be more effective with our working hours, and not always having this default, I'll need to work late this week, I'll need to work this weekend. Perhaps not. Can we bring in some tools and strategies that will help you maximize your working day? Even if you don't have particularly pressing professional demands at the moment, being more productive and effective is a wonderful way to generally reduce overwhelm and manage stress. Make sure that we are carving out time regularly for movement, that we are more calm and collected throughout the day. So this episode will be applicable to you if you are super, super busy, or you just want to increase your performance in your professional arena. So I want to talk about a few themes first and foremost before I get into some of my favorite practical tools. There are some kind of bullet point tools that I can throw at you, but some of the themes I'd like to discuss, let's go through these before. And before I go into this episode, I want to avoid caveating absolutely everything that I say. So I'm going to put a general one right at the start of this recording. Everything that I discuss will be very, very dependent on you as an individual. Some of it will be more applicable than others. Only you will know the intricacies and the relevancy of these ideas and these strategies in line with your working day. So as ever, with these strategy-focused episodes, take out what is applicable to you, leave the others on the shelf. Might be perfect for someone else, not just for you. That's absolutely fine. So the first one, let's have a look at your environment, your productive environment. Are you working in a space that's conducive to the work that you're going to be doing? A lot of ladies will find themselves, I'm very, very aware, we are doing a lot of hybrid working. So some days in the office, some days at home, some of us completely remote, some working in co-working spaces or coffee shops. There is so much variation across the board, but I'm going to ask the question, are you working in an environment that is conducive to the work that you're going to be doing on a given day? Does your desk space have natural light? Are there plants around you? Do you have the, you know, if you still use stationery, do you have your diary and the stationery around you that you need? Like me, do you need a microphone or a ring light because you're on calls or recording material? Are all of those things easy and accessible around you to actually make your working day run smoothly? Look at your desk space around you right now. I'll extend this to your desktop. Is your desktop, whether you're using a laptop, whether you're using a fixed monitor, whether you work on your phone, is it conducive to the work that you're doing? Is it cluttered or is it organized? Everything where it should be in the right folders? Is your email inbox overwhelming because there are thousands and thousands of unread emails? All of these little micro stressors can add up throughout the day and can make it difficult for us to focus on the task in hand. So how is your environment right now? Look around you. If you're not sitting at your desk, perhaps you're listening to me as you're walking. Think about the spaces that you're working in. Are they suitable for focused work? Are there lots of distractions going on around you? What noises are around you throughout your working day? Do you listen to music or do you prefer white noise? Do you like complete silence for the work that you're doing? Have a real think about what you could do to enhance your space. The way that we arrive at our desk is also important. So are you dressed for work in the day? Do you arrive at your desk ready to throw yourself into your working day? Do you do your hair before? Do you put any makeup on? Do you dress? Do you have a work uniform? Even if you're working from home, are there clothes that you would wear to go to quote unquote work in? Or, are we sitting in loungewear all day? All of this makes a difference. It frames the way that we are approaching our working day. And I think particularly the way that we sit down in the morning for that first spell of, okay, I'm arriving at work is really, really important to create that feeling if you are working from home or doing a degree of hybrid modeling. I know a lot of people don't have a separate office space. If you do, absolutely fantastic. You can set that up purely for work. But if you are having to do still a degree of working within a communal space, so in a living room or in a dining room or something along those lines, it's important that we are able to distinguish between work and play. So, productive environment. What does your desk space look like? What does your desktop space look like? And how are you arriving personally, to perform your best in that working day? The next thing I'd like to discuss is energy flow. How in tune are you with your daily energy levels? All of our energy levels will fluctuate throughout the day. It's absolutely normal, but you will have patterns that are specific to you. Often we find there are slight dips before lunch. We tend to find that there are slight dips in energy mid-afternoon, particularly towards the end of the day. Our energy tends to decrease, productivity tends to decrease. Are you aware of your natural energy flow? The reason I flag this up is because the speed and the effectiveness that you perform tasks at will vary throughout the day. So if you gave me a 100-page brief to read, a really intricate, detailed brief, I know that me personally, I could read that brief in a much shorter time at the start of the day when I'm fresher, when I've had my cup of coffee, so at maybe 9 or 10 a.m., much faster than I could at 3, 4, 5, 6 p.m. in the evening. My time, and I believe the accuracy that I could read that material would decrease as the day goes on. So my question here is, can you match your tasks with your energy levels? It has a huge, huge, huge effect. So for me, for example, I will tend to schedule as many calls as I can afternoon onwards because I find that conversation and engaging with individuals is something that will tend to build my energy or lift my energy at the latter part of the day. That's possible for my working day. I can have a little bit of flexibility around that, but what does it look like for you? Do you have deep focused tasks that actually you're pushing later into the day, but you would be able to complete much quicker if you set them up for earlier? Morning time, as I say, when you've had that coffee. So, being conscious of your energy flow, being conscious of when you are programming in tasks, if you can hack that, you will hack your output for the overall day. The best way to get to know your energy is to track it throughout the day. Maybe you use some kind of chart system, maybe you use a scoring system, but track where your energy is. Notice when you are peaking and perhaps when you're having some lulls and adjusting your tasks in accordance to that. The next theme on productivity, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have to be doing the tasks that you're doing every single day? Or are there other people or tools that could help you complete those tasks? Is there anything that you are doing on a daily basis, a weekly basis even, that could be delegated to someone else? You should only be performing tasks throughout the working day that only you can do. Delegate, automate, or eliminate. Can you delegate to someone else in your team, or perhaps someone that you could bring in, like a VA or an assistant? Is there something and training that you could put in place to equip that person with the skills so that they can take over that particular task? Automations. We have never been in a world where there are more ChatGPTs and AI and tools. Is there any automation that you can put in place that would actually help streamline your time and take care of various tasks? It's less things for you to think about, more attention and energy for you to focus on those high-level executive tasks. Or eliminate completely. Perhaps there are things, if you were really, really honest, that you do in your day or in your week that perhaps aren't giving you a really high ROI. Do they even need to feature in the working day? I'd have a hard look at your diary, perhaps even calls and meetings that you could eliminate that would free up some time for you. So delegate, automate, or eliminate. I'm going to take no more than 60 seconds to interrupt this episode and say, if you resonate with the work that we do on the Health Hacks podcast, if you have been contemplating one-to-one coaching for a while, perhaps you feel that I might be the person to help guide you towards future you. I'm interested in where you are now. What are the barriers that are preventing you reaching the health goals that you set out for yourself in 2024? I'm interested, yes, in those barriers and where you are, but I'm more interested in future you, the vision that you have for yourself in the future, the lifestyle that you want to live. Perhaps you've been contemplating one-to-one coaching. Perhaps you've considered for a while that I might be the person to support you in reaching those goals. If anything that we discuss on the Health Hacks podcast has resonated and you are interested in having a conversation, as ever, my details are in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. For now, let's get back to the episode. Let's jump into some productivity tools. These are the tools that I work with my ladies to help bring into their working day. Again, some of these will be more applicable to you than others, but let's run through them. Start with the design your day exercise. And I know I've talked about this before, but we need that initial framework. We need to know what are your working hours? What time do we have to play with? So for me, starting with the design your day, working through the pockets of time is absolutely essential. Have that foundational framework. And if you need more information on the Design Your Day exercise, go back to our podcast specifically on that, and it will walk you through step by step how to create your own Design Your Day. And we want to take as much command of our working day as possible to be less reactive, to be more calm, logical, and decrease overwhelm. Start with the Design Your Day exercise. After that, I would revisit the time audit exercise. So when I first did the time audit exercise, I freed up over an hour of my time every single day. So if you take that over a working week, averaging about an extra 5 hours. And I was someone who, at the point of doing the time audit exercise, felt that I was really, really on the ball with my productivity. Everything in my Google Calendar was scheduled, color blocked. It was madness, but I still wasn't being as effective with my time as I thought. And it was a real eye opener. So if you would love to have upwards of an hour freed up in your day every single day, the time audit exercise is a wonderful place to start. And you really will start to get to know your patterns and your behaviors and where we're not being as disciplined with our time as we may think. The next one is priority list. So you may know this as the Eisenhower matrix. It's a really common way to frame tasks. It's essentially looking at urgent and important tasks versus not urgent, not important tasks, or the do, decide, delegate, delete. You can, if you just Google Eisenhower matrix, perhaps I'll pop a link in the show notes below. It's a really, really simple framework to start dividing up your tasks throughout the day, and it's incredibly useful. I prefer to work to priority lists. So what I often do is create my Eisenhower matrix and then pull these out to priority lists. And I actually like a traffic light system. So very, very simply, A, B, and C. A being the red, the urgent tasks must be completed today. B being the amber tasks, would like to complete, but only if I have time. And C being the only when everything else is completed, will I move on to these tasks. And the key with the priority list is to start at the top and work your way down. It's often much easier and much more appealing to jump down to the C, the green tasks. They're perhaps quicker and easier, but they're not as urgent. And this is the thing, is once you create a priority list, have the discipline to start at the top and work your way through. So create your Eisenhower matrix, divide all of your tasks up, and then I like to pull everything into priority lists. And priority lists are the way that I set up every single day. So A, B, and C, and I frame my day on working through that list. Linked to, have you heard the phrase, eat the frog? To put it very simply, eating the frog is the process of identifying your most difficult task of the day and completing it before you do anything else. So really linked to that priority list. We often find there is something looming, weighing on our shoulders. Perhaps it's a longer term task. Perhaps it's something that is just so huge we don't know where to start. Perhaps it involves having a difficult conversation or gathering information we don't have. We tend to put those things on the back burner because they demand that extra degree of cognitive focus or attention. The eat the frog principle is based on getting that number one thing, that difficult thing out of the way. And it's so transformative. The rest of your day just feels an awful lot easier when that big specific task has been removed. And it might be a case of you don't jump into your emails until that task is complete. It might be the case that it's so big you simply don't know where to start. This is where we can start delegating time. So you might be able to contribute 20 minutes, 30 minutes, even an hour every single morning to eating the frog until that task is complete. But it really does make a difference to the overall working day when you've done the hardest thing first. Everything else thereafter seems easy. Screen time. And notifications. I talked about the time audit exercise. The one thing that I have changed about the way that I run my day is my screen time and my notifications. Don't work with a phone near you if you don't need it. Apps are built for distraction. If you don't need notifications, turn them off. And when I'm working with my clients one-to-one on this, I'm often met with, understandably, a degree of resistance. We feel we need to be available to everyone at all times. And I'll ask you a question: is that fact or is that fiction? How many times throughout your working day do you receive truly, and I mean truly, urgent calls? Completely redundant this conversation if you work in the emergency services, or those are, of course, urgent calls, of course. However, for many of us, our perception of urgency versus the fact are two very different things. And I would ask the question, how often do you have to be available to others throughout the day? Remove notifications from all, shall we say, leisure apps is the first step for sure. You can then remove notifications at various times of the day. So iPhones have a wonderful focus mode where you can set the times of when your phone will, it's do not disturb mode essentially. And the other thing I would ask is how frequently do you receive notifications, particularly email or Slack, depending on how your team runs throughout the day on your desktop? And if you find yourself constantly being distracted by those notifications, that is slowing down your effectiveness. So if you do not need to have notifications on, please turn them off. And I get that this can be difficult and it can be challenging, but try it, even in little blocks. Time blocking is another tool that I love. These can be specific to you. So time blocks can be email blocks. This can be a really good way to limit your availability, leading on from the notifications. Having set email blocks throughout the day, times in your day that you consciously contribute to your email inbox, because we all know how easy it is. We're working on a task, an email pops up on the side. We think, oh, that's an interesting subject line, or oh, I'll just read that email from that person. We get sucked down the rabbit hole, and before we know it, half an hour is gone, and we think, oh goodness, what was I doing? Back to it. Having set email blocks can really help us remove that distraction. So having a block, perhaps first thing in the morning, perhaps this is the longest block of your day, between 9 and 10, you dedicate to your email inbox. Then you maybe have half an hour before lunch. So 12:30 to 1 is an email block. Then half an hour after lunch, then an email block before you close off and before you end your day, between 5 and 5:30, half an hour. With that example there, that's 2.5 hours per day dedicated to your emails. But the key word there is you are dedicating the time. You're not being distracted. You're not being pulled off other tasks. You're accessible to others at four varying time intervals throughout that working day, frequent enough, in my opinion. And from my lived experience, if something is really, really urgent, people will still pick up the old-fashioned telephone and call you if something is super, super urgent. But I think being very, very aware of how available we are, what our boundaries are, and are we actually scheduling any time for deep work? Be strict on your availability, set those boundaries in place, and crucially, be consistent. If you have any hesitancy around others and around how it might be perceived by others in your team, be consistent with your blocks. They will soon get used to when they can contact you. And you might find as well that you are disturbed less often. And the things that you are, when you do get into discussion with your team, it's actually they're much more specific around the questions that they ask or the conversations that you're having because they know that they can't contact you all the time. The same with call blocks. If you're available all day, every day, there becomes a lack of respect for your time. Dedicate time to your calls. Again, be consistent with that. And obviously, do it in a way that's going to work well with your team and with everyone else. And with that in mind, of course. But you need to be conscious of how available you are and how much you are giving to others, how adaptable you are having to be around others' schedules. If you can have set call blocks in your day, I am always available between 10 and 11. I'm always available between 2 and 3. I'm always available between 4 and 5:30. That can be really, really helpful for other people and encourage them to be rigid with their time too. Batching tasks can also be incredibly effective, being more efficient with our time. So batching similar tasks together. Perhaps you do some creative work, try and put all of that together in the day. Perhaps you have to record a lot of material, try and put similar tasks together and work through your day in a logical and streamlined way. The Pomodoro timer. So clients of mine will know I'm a big fan of the Pomodoro. I use something called the Smart Counter Timer. I can link that again in the show notes below, but it's a really simple desktop timer and I use it before I start any task. So perhaps I have some admin to work through and I say, okay, it would work well for my day to contribute 30 minutes to this admin. It prevents tasks extending over. We just talked about getting sucked down the email rabbit hole. How often does that happen? However, if you are working to a smart timer, it can keep you really, really focused on how long tasks should realistically be spending, you be spending on them. And you might find there are patterns. You might notice that, okay, I always run 15 minutes over, or I always need a little bit of extra time. Okay, well, take that as a learning curve. You might need to carve out slightly more time for that task, that activity. That's fine. You will learn as you go. But I find smart timers very, very helpful. The Pomodoro principle, 25 minutes of focus work, 5 minute break. 25 minutes of focused work, 5 minute break, and then you can have a longer break. I think it's after 3 cycles, works really, really well. I used to find this was really effective if I was doing a lot of maybe writing material, designing course content, these kind of things, working in these really, think of them as sprints. They're these sprints of work, little rest, 5 minutes, enough to go and pour another cup of coffee or go to the bathroom or get a glass of water, enough to have a slight break from the screen, but then right back into it. It's like a HIIT workout, on, off, on, off. And the last thing that I love as a productivity tool is creating an end of day report. So at the end of your working day, say you finish at 5:30. At 5:15, 5:20, you might have a vibrating alarm that you use. I like the one on the Fitbit. It's a little vibrating alarm. It's not a harsh, jarring noise. It's a vibrating alarm that just acts for me as a gentle nudge that this is the end of the day. And what I then do is go into my end of day report. And the end of day report is a wonderful way for me to spend just 10 minutes reflecting on, okay, where am I in my task list today? I started with my ABC priority list. How far did I get? And crucially, I then set up the next day. So the end of day report is saying, what did I achieve today? But also, where am I going to attack first thing tomorrow? And allows me to get ahead of the game by then setting up that priority list A, B, and C for the next morning. And I'll be very, very transparent. The reason that I love it is that it means when I sit down at my desk the next morning, I don't need to think. I've already done the thinking the day before. I can potentially glance over my email, see if anything has come in, but my priority list is sitting there right beside me. Past me has already set future me up for success, and I'm ready to go. It takes away a lot of the decision-making early doors, which I personally find very, very helpful. So the end of day report, if it's not something that you do, bring it into your working day. So go through this checklist, the design your day exercise, revisit the time audit exercise, the use of priority lists, eat the frog, one of my favorites, manage your screen time and notifications, time blocking, batching tasks using the Pomodoro method or some kind of timer and end of day reports. Those are some of the practical tools that I personally love to use. There are a couple of other little pieces that I just wanted to touch on today. The first one is exercise and nutrition. Firstly, we've done a whole podcast on energy that explores energy in detail. So if you feel that you're suffering from energy slumps throughout the day, go and listen to the podcast episode, my solo episode on energy, which explores this in more detail. But with nutrition, for a lot of women, make sure you're eating enough. Make sure you're eating enough to fuel both body and mind. That's the crucial point, both body and mind. Make sure you're fueling, eating enough throughout the day, that you're eating regularly. That's a big one too. Going long spells, so hours and hours and hours throughout the day without eating anything, it's not going to serve you. And running solely on caffeine is not the answer. Trust me, as someone who's tried to function on skinny flat whites and exist solely on skinny flat whites, it is not the answer. We're looking really to promote a diet that prioritizes protein, healthy fats, perhaps snacks at your desk or in your workspace to help support that. So things that I love to include are things like nuts, dried fruit, dark chocolate. As I say, healthy fats would be a really good addition to any snacking regimen. So keeping our blood sugar levels nice and stable, but make it a non-negotiable to get healthy, balanced meals throughout your day. I mean it, don't skip lunch. It actually won't serve you. You taking time away to have a proper lunch break with a well-balanced meal is going to make you and allow you to be more productive in the afternoon. So I know it feels slightly counterintuitive. Caroline, I'm really, really busy. I'm going to chain myself to my desk. I'm going to get through all of this work today. Actually taking breaks and eating and making time for that away from the screen. That's a crucial point too. Do not sit in front of your screen eating your lunch while reading the next email. Have that real purposeful break. A phrase I use with a lot of my ladies is rest hard to work hard. And that trade-off really does pay dividends. Hydrate too. Make sure that you're drinking enough throughout your working day. Your brain is predominantly water. Make sure that you have enough water within the system to actually keep you going. And in the vein of hydration, nothing kills productivity more than things like headaches and migraines. And so make sure that you are drinking enough because it will really help. And again, I won't go on too much about this, but we did talk about this in another episode, movement. Movement is really crucial to keeping everything going. Movement as early in the day can really, really help. So make movement a priority super, super early in the day if you can. There is the misconception that as you know, workload goes up, movement and movement will go down, but your productivity will not benefit from these long spells of no movement. We feel lethargic, we feel fatigued, we've all experienced that. And it's an awful, awful feeling. And movement is the most natural way to boost our energy and enhance productivity. And don't just take my word for it. There are studies across the board that support this. And one of my favorite things to do with success is look at the practices and the behaviors of successful people, because therein lies the lesson. Steve Jobs, the late co-founder of Apple, was known for his walking meetings. Mark Zuckerberg is also known for taking a lot of his meetings on foot. Momentum is wonderful for the creative mind. Albert Einstein was known for this too. He used to come up with a lot of his good ideas, or he would connect the dots in a lot of his creative practices by going out and walking, that momentum. And there is a Stanford study. I dived into this a little bit in preparation for this episode. There is a study that found that walking outdoors or indoors similarly boosted creative inspiration. So it's the act of walking, not necessarily the environment. Now, there are a lot of positive health implications, but walking outdoors, you know, getting natural sunlight on our face, being out in nature, it can be wonderful for regulating our circadian rhythm, raising our HRV, etc. And you might be listening to this and thinking, Caroline, the idea of me going out for a nature walk at lunchtime sounds absolutely brilliant, but it will not work for my routine. I work in central London or New York. I get it completely. It may not be possible to be outdoors. But studies have found that walking either in or outdoors boosts creativity levels, and these creativity levels were significantly higher for those walking versus sitting. So even things like walking on a treadmill, facing a blank wall, that boosted creativity as opposed to sitting at our desks, almost willing ideas sometimes to come to us. And mood can possibly be a, we can potentially equate some of this to mood. So physical activity is linked to mood enhancement. If you ever had that feeling where you've dreaded a workout or a class, you've really thought, oh, this is the last thing I want to be doing, you do it and you feel phenomenal walking out. You know, there is the endorphin rush. There is a mood boosting quality to any physical movement. Like I say, even walking on a treadmill facing a blank wall. So give some thought to how you can bring more movement into your day. At the very least, can you stand up while taking some calls? Can you, in a similar vein to Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg, can you take some walking meetings? Me, I do two dog walks a day. One of them, I call it a working walk. The other I use purely as relaxation. But the first one is really about pursuing some creative thoughts or tasks for that day. And what I find is that the momentum, being outside, being I'm fortunate enough to live in an area that allows me to walk in nature every single day. And it is incredible for your mental well-being and really grounding yourself. Come literally come rain or shine. When it comes to walking, when it comes to movement, think of it less as something that will detract from your productivity, but actually something that is going to aid that productivity and effectiveness. And the last thing that I just want to cover, because it's one of the most common questions that my ladies will present when we start to talk about energy, is the 3 p.m. slump. This is a super, super common one. I just wanted to dedicate a bit of specific time to the 3 p.m. slump within this episode. This is something that you have more than likely experienced. It's that spell generally mid-afternoon. It may be 3 p.m. for you, 3:30, 4, 4:30, whenever it may be, where you feel a real decided drop in energy. Productivity plummets. You know, we're looking at the clock potentially, we're thinking about going home, or we're panicking because we're not finished our priority task list for the day. But the 3 p.m. slump is a real thing. The practical tools that I suggest my ladies try to avoid this, if you can adjust your tasks that day to avoid really cognitively demanding tasks around that 3 p.m. window, I would recommend doing it. Me personally, I like to schedule in meetings or calls or podcast recordings at that time because I feel the act of talking or engaging in conversation can be really great in elevating energy levels. Move a 5-minute walk, standing up, stretching, 50 air squats, whatever it may be. If you're tracking energy levels and you note every single day at 3:30 your energy goes down through the floor, well, maybe at 3:15 is the time for you to stand up and do 50 air squats, or simply go outside and do a 5-minute stretching session outside, potentially bare feet, standing on your lawn. How lovely. But using that as a way to combat this slump before we start to feel it. And healthy afternoon snacks can really help. So as I mentioned, protein-based or healthy fats can be super, super helpful. And timing those healthy snacks a little before our predictive slump can be really beneficial. Watch your lunchtime meal isn't causing the 3 p.m. slump. This is something that we can see with ladies, is that if we are not eating a well-balanced lunchtime meal, if we are spiking our blood glucose or we're eating a meal that is slightly too heavy, what goes up must inevitably come down. So that lunchtime meal may be causing a mid-afternoon slump. So if you're unsure of that, reach out. I'd like to find out a little bit more about your practices around that lunchtime window, what's typical for you, the foods that you're enjoying around that time. And what we can really do is adjust that meal. I'm not saying reduce it or remove a lunch at all. I'm saying potentially think about adjusting that lunchtime meal to avoid such a drastic slump mid-afternoon. Watch your caffeine timing too. If you're someone who enjoys coffee throughout the day, you can adjust your caffeine timing to prevent slumps. Generally speaking, I try and encourage my ladies to push their caffeine as early into the day as they can. No coffee after 2 p.m. is a good rule of thumb to follow. But we can have a look at your caffeine consumption, crucially when you have it, to make sure that we're not having a big dip mid-afternoon. And if you're experiencing a mid-afternoon slump day after day after day, and it's getting something that is problematic to your productivity, looking at your general sleep hygiene and your sleep cycles. Are you sleeping enough? Are you getting enough good quality sleep throughout the night to help sustain you throughout your working day? If you're not, there may be some practices that we need to look at around your sleep cycles, because sleep is the fundamental, is the foundation of your energy levels. And if that is missing, and that's a real health marker that we need to address before we think about papering the cracks, really, with all of the other things that I've mentioned. So if you are not sleeping well, if it's not just sleep quantity that matters, but quality too, if you feel that might be an issue, particularly if the conversation around menopause is something that you feel is relevant at the moment, reach out to me because I'd like to speak to you specifically about your sleep cycles. Okay, I think that's enough for me. And the interests of a podcast around productivity, I would love you to go away and actually start applying some of these strategies into your working day. Maybe go through that list again and pick out one or two that you could start using straight away. Start trying and testing some of these tools into your working day to start becoming more effective and start taking more command over our time, being really, really ruthless with the time that we have, making sure that we're making the most of it and not always making this knee-jerk response to, okay, work gets busy, so my working day has to get longer. Potentially not. Let's try and be more intentional with our time instead of just expecting that we need to be working longer. It's not all about the grind. It's about, are we working as smart as we could be, not just as hard as we should be? Okay, I'll stop there. And thank you so much, as ever, the listener, for taking your time to listen to the Health Hacks podcast. I really do appreciate your time and attention in a world where I know it's everything is very, very fast-paced, and your attention could be anywhere, particularly if you've gotten to this point in the episode, you've listened to me all the way through. It's really a testament to you, and I thank you so much for that time. If you have enjoyed this episode, if you find any of the work that we do on the Health Hacks podcast valuable, send it to someone in your inner circle. I do the podcast, I try and make the podcast as accessible as absolutely possible. All of our content is free, not paid for advertising, none of the above. So it's really, really a passion project of mine. And as I say, if there has been anything that you've listened to that you've found valuable, send this, share it on your social media platforms. Perhaps this episode specifically, maybe there's a member of your team that could do it with boosting their productivity or effectiveness, or they've reached out to you asking about means of doing that. Maybe this podcast is a good introduction to that. So I thank you so much for your time this week. As ever, if you would love to find out more about the work that I do with my one-to-one ladies, if you're interested in one-to-one coaching, if it's something that you have been contemplating for a while, and maybe you've listened to a few episodes and resonated with my message and the topics that I cover, perhaps it's time that we had that conversation. So do reach out. As ever, my contact details are in the show notes below. Drop me a message. Tell me more about your current lifestyle. I'm interested in that, but I'm more so interested in where you want to go, what your higher vision is for yourself, and how I may play a part in helping you get there. Okay, that's more than enough for me for this week. We've got a wonderful episode next week coming up that I'm really, really excited to share with you. So for now, thank you so much, and I wish you a happy and healthy week.